So we left off yesterday trying to understand this last of the Maamar Kamos, the Rambam, and Hilchos Yisurim Mizbeach, and the Gemara, Maseches Menachos, in light of everything we've been talking about in terms of Hiddur Mitzvah. So maybe just to recap what our issues were concerning Hiddur Mitzvah, is that we saw the disputes within the Rishonim as to what exactly the parameters of Hiddur Mitzvah are. So we saw on the one hand, the Machlekes of Rishonim, is Hiddur Mitzvah even a Deraisa altogether? We saw a Ridva that said explicitly Hiddur Mitzvah is only Midrabanan, and what prompted the Ridva to say that was that the notion of having a Lechetchila Deraisa just wasn't even on the radar screen. Since Hiddur Mitzvah is not Ma'akev, so by definition it can't be Deraisa. And we saw others who disagree with that. We saw it tells the Nida last week that does accept the notion of Lechetchila Deraisa, as the Arishanim who clearly hold that Hiddur Mitzvah is a Deraisa. That was one issue.
Rashi also.
Right. Rashi, by definition, is going to start up with many of these issues. Right. Then we saw another question that we showed him just conceptually, what exactly the relationship between Hiddur Mitzvah is and the Mitzvah itself. And that played out in terms of, is Hiddur Mitzvah in theory the Shabbos? So we saw a complicated machlekes, and we showed him how to read the Sugya Masechet Shabbos about Bris Milah. When all the dust settled, it came out that according to some of the Rishonim, Hiddur Mitzvah does have the ability to be Dech HaShabbos, and according to other Rishonim, Hiddur Mitzvah doesn't have the ability to be Dech HaShabbos. So we saw almost like a chiseling away at Hiddur Mitzvah. Some are putting Hiddur Mitzvah into the category, putting it on the back burner, it's only Derabbanan. Others are saying, well, maybe Deraisa, but it's not really an integral part of the Mitzvah, and therefore it's not going to be Dech HaShabbos. The problem was that both of those ideas seem to be contradicted by the Gemara Menachos Daf Samach Daled. If we take a quick look again in the 14th Gemara Mekamos, the Gemara says that, we'll pick it up in the middle of the line, that it was the end of the line, the end of the first line, Chush v'chakach shmeina potter. If a person shechted a very weak, very shvacha korban for a korban tzibur on Shabbos, and then he decides to shecht a nicer korban, so that's all right, potter. That's not called an act of chil Shabbos. Not only is it b'diyevet not called chil Shabbos, la'odel sha'om la'veh shmeinach chil Shabbos. We encourage him, we tell him to do so, to shecht a nicer korban. Based on what? What's the justification to shecht the second korban? What in the world is the justification to be Bechel Shabbos? The answer is, obviously, for the purpose of Hiddur Mitzvah. So doesn't this Gemara fly in the face of everything we've said? This Gemara is treating Hiddur Mitzvah as a Deraisa for sure. If it's Dech HaShabbos, by definition, it's a Deraisa. And it's Dech HaShabbos finished from the mere fact that it's Dech HaShabbos, that in of itself elevates Hiddur Mitzvah into the realm of the Mitzvah itself. So this Gemara seems to contradict some of the Yesodos that we said. So at the very end of the Shia yesterday, so we quoted that Rav Zhulti in the end of his piece about Hiddur Mitzvah, quotes a Rambam on the 15th of Maamar Kamos, where the Rambam at the very end of Hilchos Perek Beis, Halachas V'Chos Mizbeach, the Rambam writes at the end of the line, the Rambam is discussing certain types of problems in Karbanos that are not Mumin per se, but nevertheless, you shouldn't bring them. It's not right to bring them as a Karban. Why is it not right? So the Rambam has to go run to another pasuk, Mivcha Nedarecha, that Karbanos have to be the most beautiful, most choice animals. What happened to Zekir of Inveh? What happened to the regular Din of Hiddur Mitzvah? So basically, what the Mishnah Yavetz develops for us, the Yesod is, that there are really two halachas. That there's Hiddur Mitzvah of Kol HaTarakula, and then there's Hiddur Mitzvah of Karbanos, and they're not the same at all. Hiddur Mitzvah that we've been discussing up until now, of Kol HaTarakula, it's quite possible that the Ritva is correct. But that Hiddur Mitzvah is really only a Derabbanan. Zekir Ben Veyu, between you and me, doesn't really mean Hiddur Mitzvah. There's a lot of other Pshuta Shemikwas, what Zekir Ben Veyu means. But the Drash of Chazal in Shabbos Kuflam Gimel that refers to Hiddur Mitzvah is not a real Drash of Deraisa. It's only Nasmachta. It's only Dimid Rabbanan. So the fact that you have to have a nice Peretzitis and the fact that you have to have a nice Sukkah, those kinds of things, Hiddur Mitzvah is important, but it's only important on the level of Derabbanan. And therefore, if it's only midrabanan, it makes perfect sense why, in fact, it will not be Dech HaShabbos. However, b'med devam amurim, Hiddur Mitzvah is only midrabanan, that's in Kol HaTarakula. Once you enter into the realm of Kachim, it's a whole different story. Kachim, Korbanos, as we mentioned yesterday, go back to the story of Kai V'Hevel, to bring a korban that's not nice, that's a new halacha, that's a separate din. That's what we call, that's not a din klali of Kol HaTarakula, it's not a generalized din that relates to all mitzvahs. That's a specific din that is derived from a specific pasuk in the specific area of halacha called kachim, and that's exactly what Mivchan HaDerecha means. That's why the Rambam had to quote an additional pasuk, because the additional pasuk is a fundamentally different kind of halacha. It's not a derabbanan of zeken v'mdei. It's a deraisa limited to kachim. And not only is there a distinction between hiddur mitzvah in terms of gradation, deraisa versus derabbanan, but there's a difference fundamentally, namely that even those who want to accept hiddur mitzvah deraisa by other mitzvahs, even if you hold that there is a hiddur mitzvah deraisa in kol Torah kula, but it's only a din klali, it's not a din prati. It's a din of kol Torah kula, a general, you know, kind of vague statements that can't avail. Do things in a nice, pretty way. Have a nice tittus, a nice sukkah, a nice shofar. Everything should be nice. But when it comes to korbanos, then it becomes part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. Only by korbanos, the chiddush of Torah of mivchan ederecha, even if it's the mitzvah deraisa, there's still something mechudash in korbanos. The korbanos becomes part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. It's felt in the carbon. It's a chesed of the carbon. It's a chesed in the cheft itself. It's not just some theoretical, very vague, very ambiguous, you know, lack of a gavra doing something in a nice way. It's a different chalashem. It's a different carbon. A carbon kechusha is not a carbon shemena. And therefore, to go ahead and shech the carbon shemena, we're going to let you do it. Not only are we going to let you do it, we're going to encourage you to do it on Shabbos itself. Why? Because when you bring a carbon shemena, that's a greater mitzvah of the carbon. That's called the hiddur mitzvah of karbanos. And the hiddur mitzvah of karbanos is deicha Shabbos. So it comes out that everything we've been saying up until now, that hiddur mitzvah, maybe they're icy, maybe they're butter, we're not sure. Hiddur mitzvah, maybe it's part of the mitzvah itself, maybe it's not. All of those possibilities are true and potentially acceptable once you're not in the world of Kabbalah. When you enter the world of Kabbalah, all the rules change. It becomes a deraisa, it becomes part of the mitzvah itself, it's for sure the cheshabs, etc. How do we understand this distinction? Why is it, so to speak, almost like conceptually, why is this true? What's the nature of this gzer sakas mivchan ederecha? So perhaps it's a throwback to something that we spoke about already a couple of years ago, when we first introduced the machlekes about whether hiddur mitzvah could potentially be posel or not. So it all goes back to Rashi. We're really all learning the Rashi. The whole sugya, the last 2 weeks, is just to give a little bit of better understanding of Rashi's sheet at the beginning of Lulav HaGozel, that hiddur mitzvah can at least sometimes posel. Because Rashi learned pshat in the Mishnah, Lulav HaYofesh posel, and Rashi quotes the posel to Kehel Venveil. Kwaita tells us we're learning the wrong sugya. Kwaita tells us, I mean, it's a nice sugya, but it's not a third parak of sukkah sugya. But according to Rashi, we're discussing the parameters of hiddur mitzvah, and we came to the realization a couple of shiurim ago that there is a machlekes in Rishonim, can hiddur mitzvah ever be ma'akev? And we raised the red flag from a sugya back in Maseches Gittit. Remember back in Gittit Daf Chav, the Gemara spoke about the possibility of a person writing the Shem Hashem, and he wasn't mekadesh the Shem properly, so he didn't endow it with the proper sanctity, and now he wants to touch it up. So can you take another, some more ink, and just rewrite it, Lishma? So the Gemara raised two different issues. One was an issue of Ksav HaGabiksav. Maybe rewriting is just meaningless. That's not called a Ksiv HaLishma, because the first Ksiv already registered. It was registered B'Psul. The second Ksiv is Kamanda Leisa, doesn't exist. So the Gemara says, that's not the end of the world. One can argue that even if you hold that Ksav HaGabiksav is meaningless, that's true when the second Ksav doesn't add a dimension, doesn't add a component. But here, when the second ksav is adding the dimension of the Shema, so one could stretch, one could argue, that's called the ksiva. But then the Gemara raised a whole other red flag. The Gemara says, maybe it's no good, because ain't a shem in a mufchor. Because the Shem Hashem is not being written properly. It's going to look very strange. The whole Sefer Torah is going to look one shade of black, and then the Shem Hashem is going to look very, very dark. It's like a messy guy's notes, you know. He's got arrows here, he's got lines here, things across here. He ran out of ink here, so he scratched it. Doesn't look right. Sefer Torah doesn't look proper. The Gemara says, Gaval, that'll be terrible. Zekei Livyadeu. So we were startled, we were taken aback by that. That Zekeli Ben Veil is going to disqualify the Sefer Torah, that's what the Gemara means. So maybe the Gemara didn't mean it's going to disqualify. Maybe Rechidah, maybe it's only Lechad Chila. But the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's a real problem, that the Sefer Torah is mamash disqualified. So we were, take a step back and said, wait a second. According to many of the Rishonim, Zekeli Ben Veil is not a deraisa even. How in the world could Zekeli Ben Veil disqualify an entire Sefer Torah to love of deraisa? So the Chassam Sofer came up with a fascinating insight. Chassam Sofer said, when do we say that Zekeh Levin Veil was Derabbanan? That's by Tzitzis, and that's by Sukkah, that's by regular plain simple mitzvahs. But when it comes to the Shem Hashem, you're going to write the Shem Hashem in a not appropriate manner. You're going to write the Shem Hashem, it doesn't look in the highest level of beauty. Ain't lich a lack of literally, Zekeli Levin Veil. Said the Chassam Sofer, when you had the Shem Hashem, that's a deraisa. That pasul is b'diavad. Is that keli v'anvia pshut k'mashmal? So according to Chasam Sofer, comes out two halachas of brisket tire. There are two kinds of hidden mitzvahs. There are hidden mitzvah of mitzvahs, and there's hidden mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that for sure requires hidur out of love of deraisa. So now, if we start to connect the dots here, what we're finding is that the answer to our question, our global question in the last 3 weeks is hidur mitzvah deraisa derabanan? The answer is it depends. It depends what area of halacha you're in. If you're in plain, simple halacha, you're in the world of tzitzis and lulav, maybe even in sukkah, those areas of halacha. So the answer is quite possibly only midrabbanan. The Ritva for sure says derabanan, Tosfos Baels derabanan. So most probably hidur mitzvah is only midrabbanan. But when you enter into certain realms, then all of a sudden the rules change. All of a sudden it becomes deraisa. What are the two realms? So we saw two different realms. We saw them a little bit disjointed one from another because we saw them 2 weeks apart. We saw the Chasam Sofer talking about the Shem Hashem of Sefer Torah, and now we're seeing the Rambam and Mishnas Yavetz developing of Kachim. And now we have to ask ourselves, wait a second, is there a connection between the two? Is this just coincidental? Hidur mitzvah is always the Rabbanan, except for exception to rule number one, Shem Hashem. Exception to rule number two, Kachim. Or do we say, wait a second, if there are two exceptions to the rule, there's a reason why the two exceptions to the rule. They're not two just coincidental exceptions. It's the same exception. It's the same basic law. Why is that? Ultimately, what is it that gives a korban kedusha to it? What is the very nature of a korban? What is it that's special about a korban? The answer is what makes a korban special is the kedusha Hashem shemo. Because a person was machdash, just said, I raise a Hashem. Person says, I raise a chatas Hashem. I raise a shlom. I raise a pesach Hashem. It's a declaration that something, in a sense, belongs to a kedush baruch Hu. That is what gives it its koichas. That is what gives it its very essence. That's what gives it its uniqueness. Perhaps one can argue that the two chidushim, Chasam Sofer back from Maseches Gittin from Shem Hashem, and the Rambam and Rav Zhultif by Karbanos are really one and the same. The reason why Karbanos have to be up to par is because that's a chisar in Hashem. That's a when a person puts on tzitzis, tzitzis are not chal Shem Hashem on the tzitzis. And even a lulav is not Shem Hashem. And the sukkah, it's chal Shem Shemayim in a very, very vague way. Chal Shem Shemayim l'chagigah. We spoke about that back with Aftes. But in terms of the bottom line is that there's no kedushas aguf even to sukkah. Believe it or not, I had a shayla. Somebody just asked me this week, a kedushas aguf shayla anuch sukkah. Mamash back from Aftes. It was like the wrong season. Somebody just asked me that somebody wanted to know, they were building something in the backyard or something. They wanted to know, can they use some of their walls that are in the sitting in the garage for the sukkah? And they're going to use them next year for sukkahs. But they want to know for the next month or two, can they use them to prop up something over the next couple of weeks? Is that a problem? I said, it's het to gomor. If you would do that in sukkahs, it would be a dirsa deraisa. But if you do it on in the middle of May, that's het. For Shavuos, it's moti yesh lachel. Because chag sukkah shavuos shalom lashem, it's kodesh lashem for a week. So even sukkah, which is chal shem shemayim, it's not really chal shem shemayim. If it was really chal shem shemayim, it would be yes on the only one. But there are certain things that are really, truly chal shem shemayim on them. You know what they are? Hashem's name. And you know what else is chal shem shemayim alof? A korban is chal shem shemayim. Nisa me'ila. V'chata b'shkaka b'kotchi Hashem. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's property. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is involved, then the din of Zeket of Avraham kicks in on the highest level, on the level of their eyes. So again, it's a suggestion that maybe the two chidushim that we found, that hidur mitzvah sometimes crosses party lines and becomes their eyes, in Shem Hashem and Kabbalah, perhaps they're not just two coincidental exceptions, maybe they really wanted to say.
Would apply also to Mitzvah.
So it would apply at least to the Shem, right, to the Shem Hashem part, right.
Can one make the distinction then with regards to, let's say, the Rambam, with regards to the Kabbalah, that maybe the hidur mitzvah that we say is the rabbanon in the kol torah kulo aspect is more of a in the chafsa in what it is because the object it is, but when it comes to let's say korbanos or things like that, maybe more on in the case of let's say a chatas or every time more on the gavra.
I mean the gavra has to get all the kapara. It's almost like the opposite. Like we're saying that by korbanos there's more of a relation to the gavra because the gavra right. Has a real relation to this chafsa.
So right. So that's what's going to require him or allow him to.
It's almost like a reflection on him. Like, Bishlam, yeah. When I wear tzitzis, so there's no correlation. Look at the tzitzis is the tzitzis, the lulav
right.
Is the lulav,
so,
the
tzitzis is the tzitzis. Yeah, exactly.
And here I need the kapara, or I need the to be yotzei my net. I have to bring my korban. Maybe, interesting. Maybe, right. Maybe. Could so, be. Right. Could be. Interesting, maybe. So getting back, just there was one nakuda that emanated from the sugya because of the two ways of learning. The sugya Masech HaShav is a pivotal gemara we spoke about earlier in the week about the mitzvah bris milah. When all the dust settled, the Gemara says, whether you hold Hidu Mitzvah is Dochet HaShabbos, not Dochet HaShabbos, the Gemara did say that if a person is low Piresh, you could fix up the job, you could fix up the whole story. So that worked out, according to all opinions. That the bottom line is the Brais of Masechet HaShabbos says, that we go back for a moment, but back to the ninth and the Mamakomos, that Hamal Koz Mantras with Mila, as long as you haven't put that knife down, then it's Het Gom, you can go back, and you should go back, even for the Tzitzin She'ein Ma'akhveres HaMila, even though B'diavad the Mila will be kosher the way it is, you do go back, even on Shabbos. According to Rashi, the Gemara was only talking about on Shabbos. According to the Rambam, the Gemara was also talking about on Shabbos. But everybody agrees that you can go back, Koz Mantras Lo Pirish. So the question is, why is that? So we have two different understandings. One understanding was because it's Hidu Mitzvah, and Hidu Mitzvah is Dech HaShabbos, that was the Rambam. And according to Rashi, who holds that Hidu Mitzvah is not Dech HaShabbos, the reason you can go back is because it's still the same Isa, you're still holding by the same Isa, so Kozman is still part of the same act of Chilul Shabbos, that's Mutter, even without the consideration of Hidu Mitzvah. So Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam was Pshat in this Gemara. So this din, which would appear to us to be almost not relevant, I mean, how often is it going to happen? You know, the mother's going to do a terrible job, and he's still holding the knife. You know, it's not exactly the most common situation that we're going to deal with. But the potential application of this becomes very, very relevant. We hope not to be relevant, but as the pediatricians can tell us, it's probably more relevant than we'd like it to be. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a fascinating discussion. He has it in a couple of places. He has it in some of the psacha that was written up in Chol Shabbos. I think he has it in Shuvas. He has it in a couple of places. Shmuel Shabbos quotes it following Shaila. A very, very real Shaila. Somebody gets hurt on Shabbos. Usually a kid gets hurt on Shabbos. And the doctors assess that he better get stitches. It's a chashash. It's a chashash maybe of a pikuach nefesh. Maybe it'll get infected. Doesn't get cleaned up properly. Doesn't get closed up properly. And therefore we're gonna sanction doing a potential malach in deraisa of giving stitches on Shabbos as a chashash of pikuach nefesh. Now, even that statement that a potential malach in deraisa is highly questionable because it's not even 100% clear what malach in deraisa exactly is involved in stitching. I mean, we know the tofer is one of the lamentas halachas. Stitching is one of the lamentas halachas. That means stitching a garment. That's a very, very big question, whether even stitching skin is included in the malach altogether. So there are other, maybe it's a malach of tofer, maybe it's a malach of kosher, there's a certain time that has to be done in the process. There may be some halachas deraisa possibly that are taking place during stitching. We'll assume, in a sense, the worst case scenario, that there's some kind of deraisa taking place. But again, so if the doctors assess that there's even a far-fetched chance of a complication, that could potentially lead down the line to be goch nefesh. So it's going to be mutter. We'll have to stitch. So now come to the doctor. The doctor is stitching up the child. So we ask the doctor the following question: how many stitches have to be done? So the answer, again, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the answer will depend on what are you trying to accomplish. If you're trying just to simply close up the wound to the point where it's not dangerous anymore, the answer may be X. If you're trying to stitch it up that it doesn't look like a disaster in the future with this terrible scar, the answer may be X plus. Am I correct? Okay. So now, here we have a Shomer Shabbos doctor who was het to go of a chayvem. He has a het to go to begin to stitch up for real medical pikuach nefesh concerns. And now he reaches the point that he stitched 5 stitches. And now he says, listen, I don't have to stitch this anymore. I'm going to do it. I would do it on a Tuesday, because otherwise it's not going to look very nice. It's going to leave a bad scar. But in terms of pikuach nefesh, we're done for now. Does the doctor have a right to continue to stitch up this child, knowing full well that the extra stitches that are being done are not pikuach nefesh proper? So comes Rav Shlomo Zalman and said yes, that he's allowed to do it, that he should do it. Why should he do it? So Rav Shlomo Zalman had a fascinating raya. Shabbos kuflam gimel beis. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's lo piresh. The same way the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, it's lo pirish, kolzman, you haven't ended. Now again, what not ending means is, whether it means you're holding the knife, whether it means you haven't wrapped up the baby, you haven't finished the matzitza, the bandit, those are details, nuances, we showed them in the later post, what lo pirish means. But everybody agrees it's a concept of lo pirish. Here, the surgeon's standing there. Everything is still open. He's on the table. He's got his hands holding on to the needle, whatever material, whatever instruments he's using. So one can argue that is clearly the halach equivalent of lo pirish. He didn't finish yet. If this was a Tuesday, he would still be going. He hasn't sent the child home and then tell him to come back an hour later. So it's clearly low pirish. So Shlomo Zalman wanted to compare and say, just as in Shabbos, Kuflam and Gimel, low pirish are sufficient grounds to permit you to continue to do an act that's not really required by the halacha. The milah's caution. This kid's not an oral anymore. You were yaitzeh b'yom ha-shmini yom ha-basolos. It doesn't matter. If al pi din, you haven't finished yet. Al pi din, it's still covered by the original act of Chol Shabbos. It would be permissible. So do we understand this extrapolation? Do we understand this comparison? So the Chora, the answer is, it depends on everything we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. It depends on how you learn Pshat in Shabbos Kuf Lama Gimel, which ultimately depends on how you learn Pshat in Sukkah Daf Chav Tes. Namely, is Hida Mitzvah really Deicha Shabbos itself? If you hold like the Rishonim, like the Rambam, that Hida Mitzvah is the engine that's driving Lapirish, the reason why you continue the job is to fulfill that very special requirement of Hida Mitzvah, which is a very, very special area of Halacha that has the ability, it's a Deraisa, it's Deicha Shabbos, that's the reason why you're allowed to do it. One could argue, Hidur Mitzvah, that has nothing to do with Pikuch Nefesh. So Hidur Mitzvah is a din in Zekeli Vendeyum. That's not Pikuch Nefesh. So when it comes to Chil Shabbos, in order to be Mat Chil Shabbos or Pikuch Nefesh, that's Pikuch Nefesh. So who determines whether it's Pikuch Nefesh? The doctor determines. So the doctor tells us, honestly, there's no medical need to the point of Pikuch Nefesh anymore to do this. It's a cosmetic need at this point. So then it's very hard to be Matir that. But if you hold like the other Rishonim, if you hold like the Rishonim who say, like Rashi, Hidibitz is not Deicha Shabbos. Hidibitz is never Deicha Shabbos. But why is it Mutter here? The reason why it's Mutter here is because it's the same Maisa. Okay, that we can carry over to Chil Shabbos or Pikuch Nefesh. If you're going to tell me that there's a new concept in Halacha called Chada Maisa, so Chada Maisa is a Matir of Chil Shabbos, not because of Hidur Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah does not have the ability to be Deicha Shabbos. Just the mere Chada Maisa is Deicha Shabbos. So Chada Maisa is Deicha Shabbos in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. Chada Maisa can be Deicha Shabbos in the emergency room and to permit the extra stitches as well. So Shlomo Zalman's Chiddush really depends upon our sugya. Depends on the two opinions in the Rishonim. Hadalim Shad and Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. But there Shlomo Zalman is another tzad, another reason to be making. Comes Shlomo Zalman says, forget about the Hidur Mitzvah. Forget about Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. I'll give you another svara. There is a chiddush, we spoke about this, and we definitely spoke about it in the shul many times. I'm sure we spoke about it here also once or twice. There's a chiddush goal of the Magid Mishnah in Hilchas Shabbos, Perek Beis Hilchas Shabbos, which goes way beyond that discussion. It relates to all of Pikuach Nefesh. The Magid Mishnah says, what's the din in the following case? You have a person who's a chiddush yesh per sakana. We've assessed medically that he's in a situation of a potential danger of life. So we go ahead and we start to do what's necessary. The doctor says he has to have this injection. We do it. He has to have this surgery. He has to have this test. Hetagom of a chayb and finish. No questions asked. Now we've done whatever is necessary medically, and now the person's grandmother's here in the room. She says he needs a bowl of chicken soup. The doctor says, I'm sure he'll enjoy the bowl of chicken soup, but is it going to make or break his medical condition? No. If it would be Tuesday, would be cook. The kid wants the chicken soup. The grandmother wants the chicken soup more than the kid wants. So, would we cook up the chicken soup on Tuesday? Yeah, we'd say, yeah, it'll make him feel a little better. Is it going to really make a break medically? Most probably not, or most definitely not. The Makamishna says, you're allowed to cook the chicken soup on Shabbos. We should do Malacha there, right? So why? He's a Chadash Yesh per Sakana. Whenever you're dealing with the Chadash Yesh per Sakana, says the Makamishna, Osin kol tzorchi achol b'Shabbos. You're allowed to take care of the chol on Shabbos like you would take care of him on a Tuesday. You don't have to cut corners, and you don't have to start to say, well, this medicine I do need, this injection I do need, this test I do need, this surgery I do need, this chicken soup I don't need. No. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday in the hospital today. Whenever you're dealing with the chol sheyesh b'sakana, osin kol tzorchi achol b'Shabbos. Shlomo Zalman, he quotes this Magid Mishnah, and he says, you know, the buck stops here, even according to the Magid Mishnah. It's inconceivable that the Magid Mishnah would go to the absolute extreme. So the Shlomo Zalman throws that almost like a rhetorical question to show that it's impossible that the Magid Mishnah would ever go to that ultimate conclusion, what he sounds like he's saying. So Shlomo Zalman such a ish tzaddik and kaddish, you know, sitting in Jer Chesed, you know, which mufka from some of the hanos in this world. So Shlomo Zalman is trying to think of an example to throw out as a almost like an argument to advance to say that obviously the Magid Mishnah wouldn't permit this. So he's trying to think of an example. What would a chayla possibly ask for in the hospital that's clearly not medical? It's not even physical. It's just stam l'tainig be'alma, just for kicks, just for. So Shlomo Zalman is thinking. The following example, he says, imagine if the Chol Sheyesh per Sakana would ask you to bring him the newspaper. That's like the most mufka thing from Ruchnius. I would think if somebody less a caliber from Zalman was writing this tshuva, somebody would think, there are probably a lot of other things that the guy needs. Is this, he needs this, he wants the TV on, he wants the sports channel, he wants that. Maybe can he didn't even say which newspaper. He wants the Atad. I don't know which newspaper does he have. He wants the Mishpacha. So Shlomo says, are you talking? We would let us bring him the newspaper. Go to the store and buy a newspaper and then Shabbos. He doesn't believe that. Shlomo says, I would go that far. What's Pshat? And he doesn't believe that Magid Mishnah would go so far. What's Pshat? The stomach, what Shlomo Zalman is highlighting, is the yesod. It's an important yesod of chinuch. I've been trying for years to try to get this across to my kids. Sometimes successfully, sometimes not. I just had this discussion with my youngest, with Blima, just literally in the car. I think it was yesterday. She told me, she starts off with telling me what she needs. Oh, yeah, I remember it was, she needed money for ice cream. So I would give her the money for ice cream, but I just wanted to change the discussion. It'll change the conversation piece. It started off with one of these, you know, kvetchings of, I need money for ice cream. So I said, I'm going to give you the money for ice cream. I just want you to change the word. You don't need money for ice cream. You want money for ice cream. That's fine. I'll give it to you. But I want you to understand the difference between a need and a want. A need is, Torah is a need. Dush is a need. Mitzvahs are a need. Oxygen is a need. Food is a need. Then it got very sticky. Ice cream, food. But yeah, yeah. There's certain things you need. Certain things you want. Just understand the difference. If you understand the difference between that, you'll be a much happier person in life. So that's what Shlomo Zalman says also. You know, the soup is not an absolute medical need in the sense of it's not going to make or break your medical condition, but it's still, its physical sustenance is a need. Reading the newspaper is a want. Chil Shabbos applies to needs. So they don't have to be absolute 100,000% medically sanctioned needs, but it's still a physical need. It's still part of what normal tzarchei achayla, normal things that achayla needs on, quote-unquote, needs, extended need on Shabbos. A ratzon bi'alma, you want the newspaper, you want to watch the ball game, you want to use your cell phone, those are not needs, those are ritzonos. Ritzonos are ledech Shabbos. Tzarchei achayla ledech Shabbos, not ritzonos achayla. So comes the Shlomo Zalman and says, if you would accept this Magid Mishnah Halacha, which we may or may not accept, but if Imtum Tzolom, you would accept this Magid Mishnah Halacha, those would be other grounds to permit the case of the stitches. Why is that? You're right. The medical, the absolute bare-bone medical needs of the stitches are 5 stitches. That's it. After that, the kid's fine. Nothing's going to happen to him medically. On the other hand, on Tuesday we would do it. Why do we do the extra stitches? We do it just, is doing the extra stitches like buying a newspaper, or is doing the extra stitches like making a bowl of soup? I would say it's much closer to the bowl of soup. It's a physical need. I mean, that's a normal way of dealing with the chayla. If imagine a doctor would not stitch up the extra stitches, you're a tzura guy from Al-Pah, it's crazy, what are you nuts? You did a shabby job, you did a job, the kid never has a big scar on his face for the rest of his life. So that's terrible. That's not like you didn't give him a candy at the end. That's like you didn't do the job, you didn't finish the job. True, you didn't put the kid's life in danger. On the other hand, you didn't finish the medical normal protocol of stitching up properly. So it comes if Shlomo Zalman says, whenever you didn't finish the normal medical protocol of Tuesday, you're allowed to do that in Shabbos, not because of Hidda Mitzvah, not because of Lo Pirish. You're allowed to do it Al Tzta Magid Mishnah. Again, assuming we passlight the Magid Mishnah, that's a big machlekes. The Mishnah Berurah claims we don't passlight the Mishnah Berurah wasn't talking about stitches in Ramadan in the 1800s. He says he doesn't think the Magid Mishnah is even accepted Allah such a chiddush. Reb Chaim is supposedly held that Mikra did. We do follow the Magid Mishnah. So machlekes the Ge'ine Oilam about whether the Magid Mishnah is right or not. If we accept Allah the Magid Mishnah, then you have Shlomo Zalman's second son. So Lefini is daiti. Both of the chidushim of Shlomo Zalman, each one is highly questionable. Shlomo Zalman's extrapolation from the Sugin Shabbos, Kuflam and Gimel depends on everything we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. Rashi and the Rambam, Hidda Mitzvah, So it's a chidush gadol of Shlomo Zalman. It's totally in machlokes that we've shown him. The second chidush gadol of Shlomo Zalman, that Osek Otzarech Yachol, like Magid Mishnah, is also a big chidush. Depends on the big machlokes, the Ge'ayne Oilam between Mishnah Berurah and Chaim Briska. Do we follow the Magid Mishnah? I follow the Magid Mishnah. We've shown him probably disagree with the Magid Mishnah. So, if you'd ask me like this, listen, I have a question, I'm not so sure, I have a machlokes, I have a Magid Mishnah, because of my questions, I'm not going to ruin this kid's face. I'm not going to make this kid have a scar forever because I'm not sure how to be Machmir Shaila. For her, Zokim, Shlomo Zalman could pass in that it's mutter based on a combination of these two tzedakim, far be it from me in the emergency room to say, no, not so poshut. Especially with tzirif, the fact that we're not even sure what the malacha was in the first place. We didn't even know that there was a malacha deraisa altogether in stitches. So if Lefini is dying, I would say like this. I said, listen, if the doctor's not asking the shayla, I'm not mechir to put in my 2 cents. So the doctor's generally not asking the shayla. I have never gotten a shayla from the surgeon to this effect. You know, Rabbi, should I rely on the Magid Mishnah? Not rely on the Magid Mishnah. Should I rely on the most doctors, most plastic surgeons were sewing up and not asking the shayla. So Lefini is dying, and somebody comes and when he asks me the shayla, I would reference Rosh Hashanah was making. I said, in the world of Lomdus on a Wednesday morning in Kol HaBoker, so we're poo-pooing about the Rambam and Rashi and Magen Mishnah. There's a lot of Lomdus and Torahs. But Tachlis, Rosh Hashanah, the Gadol Hador, Pesach Hador, Kepaskin, that it's Mutter based on a variety of reasons. So, again, far be it from me to be Mefakfik LaHalacha, even though in terms of the Lomdus and the poo-poo and everything, there's a lot to discuss. Both angles of the Shaila have a lot to discuss in terms of the Lomdus, but Halacha Meis, Rosh Hashanah was making already. Those who rely on Rosh Hashanah, Yesh Lehem, Shasach HaGodol, Yesh Lehem, Amilis. Okay. Well, from next year on the Friday, we'll be talking.